Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
I am here with Cody Mincy from the in the Marlins organization. Cody, how's it going, bro?
Not too bad, man. How are you?
Man, I'm doing well. Like I said before we got on here, I am on COVID like watch. I can't go to work for a week. Although the symptoms that I had were very minimal, and I don't even know if it is COVID, so I'm just kind of here at the house, just hanging out. But yeah, man, it's just finding things to do to keep myself busy and entertained, I guess. But how about you, man? Like, you had your first season of affiliated ball. Like, how was that kind of overall for you?
It was good. It was a good experience. A little bit longer than normal, because before, obviously, I would come in after I got done with teaching and coaching at the high school that I was working at the time. But it was a good experience. Got to meet a lot of good people and actually ended up winning a championship. So that was fun.
Yeah. So let's get into that. So how was the championship? Because that was with, was that with AA or AAA? That was with AAA, right?
No, that was with AA.
AA, okay.
I went back down at the end.
Okay.
For the last little bit. And yeah, we ended up winning the whole thing.
So how was that experience then? Like, so I think you might be the first person I've talked to who's won like a championship in the minor leagues and stuff like that. Like, how was that whole experience?
It was fun, man. It was obviously a lot of young guys, but you could obviously feel the excitement in the room and just a fun experience and a fun thing to be a part of.
So when did you guys get rings and everything or no?
I have no clue how it works, to be honest with you.
So, like, after you guys won the championship and all that kind of stuff, like, did you guys get after it a little bit in the clubhouse?
I mean, there was a speech, and we had a good time and celebrated. Yeah.
Okay. Who maybe got, like, the wildest? Maybe someone who was just like, all right.
No, there. I actually got hit in the head.
What?
With a champagne bottle by Yuri Perez, or not Yuri Perez. He didn't have one. It was some other guy. We were jumping in the middle, and I guess I'm obviously one of the shorter guys. Whenever it came down, it hit me in the head, and I had to get a butterfly across the forehead. But
jeez,
I was kind of leaking blood in there for a little bit.
Dang! But you know what? You won a championship, so at the end, it's like whatever. You know, it's just a battle scar.
It was just kind of the icing on the cake. It's kind of funny to think about now.
Dang, that's crazy. Okay, so you obviously had fun. Like, everyone's enjoying themselves.
Yeah, like I said, like we enjoyed it and obviously had a good time after.
Yeah,
everybody had a good time and
you got
everybody.
Yeah, and you got a little scar just to kind of show off. Like, you know, people can ask.
Yeah,
you,
like, I've got a little scar above the eye.
Yeah, so now when you go out, people can be like, "Yeah, like, so what happened to your eye?" And you're like, "Well, let me tell you. You know, I'm a champion. No big deal."
Yeah.
That's okay, awesome.
That's how I explain it.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You got to spin it that way. So obviously, like, the Marlins, I think I told you this before, like, I've had a lot of Marlin guys on the podcast, just kind of close to Beloit and, I don't know, just kind of seemed the way that it's kind of been. You have some really good guys in AA and in AAA. Troy Johnston, he's been on my pod. He's, MD Johnson and another one.
Troy was actually my roommate in AAA.
Okay, well, let's talk about this. Do you have any good Troy stories? Something I can kind of, you know, make fun of him about a little bit later. Just give me something, some dirt.
Funny Troy story. You know, he's funny every day. Every day with him is you know you're getting a laugh, and you know he's going to be the guy that comes in and he's messing around the whole time, but you know he's getting his work in, and he's a good guy to have in the clubhouse.
So let's get into your story then. So when did you start playing baseball, and when did you realize, you know, maybe you can take this to the next level, either college, independent ball, pro ball, and that kind of stuff?
I was always pretty motivated to try to play professionally, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, I decided after whenever I went to South Carolina, mm-hmm. and played college ball, had a pretty good year my junior year. Thought that I was going to get drafted. It didn't happen. And then I come back my senior year. Also went undrafted. So it kind of left a sour taste in my mouth. So after that, I guess I kind of went on this journey to try to play affiliated ball. Started out going and playing independent baseball. Played that for a while. Played overseas a good bit. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, did that all the way up till I was 29. And then I ended up getting signed by Miami.
Yeah.
And then.
And he had a good year, too. Obviously, I mean, you went from all the way to AAA, back down to AA, you won the championship. You got a good scar to kind of just to prove everything that had happened.
Yeah, you know, I would count it as a win.
Yeah, no, for sure. So you talked about you went to, you know, D1 South Carolina, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So how was that experience, like maybe playing for that school? Because obviously it's a good program. A lot of good guys have come from that program, and you put up good numbers while you were there as well. Like, how was that experience playing in like that D1 environment?
It was fun because I came from a JUCO. I went to JUCO my first 2 years. So I went Spartanburg Methodist, and then I transferred into South Carolina. We used to have like no more than 100 people at our junior college games.
Yeah.
Now I was fortunate enough to go to the World Series twice, so we played in front of some fans there, but. Other than that, man, it was parents and girlfriends that were there.
Okay.
And then got to South Carolina, and it was like at least 5,000 every night, fans up to like, I don't know how many it holds, but I mean, I would say I think around 15 or something like that.
No, for sure.
So it was, for me, it was a big change of pace, but it was fun. It was kind of unreal environment.
So let's talk about JUCO, because I love talking to guys who've been to JUCO route, because like you hear some incredible stories and like adventures, even like just things that happen and experiences in the JUCO world. You went to Spartanburg Methodist, and you guys went to the World Series a couple times. You mentioned, like, how good was your team?
Man, we were pretty good. I will say that my freshman year, and my sophomore year, we were solid. excuse me, but I will say that I think that my freshman year, that team would compete with a lot of teams throughout the country.
Yeah,
Division One, and because a lot of those guys went Division One or they got drafted. So it was like, you know, I guess they didn't have the grades and they didn't get picked up out of high school, or they decided to go the JUCO route, whatever it may have been. You know, we had a lot of those guys that were drafted out of high school, mm-hmm. and then they came there.
What led you to go JUCO? Because you talked about some guys go there for various reasons. Some guys just want to play baseball and don't want to do the whole academic side. They just want to go 1 year, get drafted. I've known guys who've done that. Like, what was kind of your path that led you to JUCO?
To be honest with you, the only school that I was really talking to was College of Charleston.
Okay.
And I actually couldn't get in because I had only taken 2 Spanishes and you needed 3 to get in. And then I started looking at it, and I still had to go take the SAT and ACT again. And it was just like, I'm just going to go the JUCO route. Yeah. As bad as that is to say.
No, it's not though. Cause like I said, so many guys have done that where they're like,
my brother went there and I knew the coaches.
Okay.
I knew it was a smaller school. So for me, it wasn't, no offense to College of Charleston at the time, but it wasn't where I thought that I would be going. I thought I'd be going to a little bit bigger school, and sure. That might be a little bit prideful to say, but I knew if I went to SMC, I could get a little bigger, mm-hmm. a little stronger, work on a few things pitching, because I was real small whenever I was coming out of high school. So I just kind of, I looked at it like that, and it obviously led to me going to South Carolina, so it all worked out.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like I said, like a lot of good guys go to JUCOs, and a lot of JUCOs could compete with like D1 schools. And I'm sure, like you said, your freshman team probably could have. And I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, say that again.
Sorry, you're breaking up.
Oh, okay. What were you saying? Can you hear me now?
I said my freshman and sophomore year, most definitely.
Yeah, no, for sure. Do you have any like interesting or funny JUCO stories? Because I've talked to guys who've like gotten DUIs and the coach made them run triangles for 4 straight hours, or running up like the mountains like after every workout and stuff like that. Like, do you have any interesting like funny JUCO stories that just wouldn't fly at a D1 school?
Oh man. Um, No, that stuff really like it. Nothing really got by with the coach that I had there, with either the pitching coach or the manager.
Was he pretty strict?
Yeah, they were really strict. So, like I said, you couldn't really cut any corners there.
Yeah.
It was like, I felt like I was kind of at boot camp sometimes.
Yeah. That's how it is sometimes. Like, did they have any crazy workouts where you're like, oh my goodness, like I'm about
like I remember when I first got there, it was in the upper part of South Carolina. So it's not crazy cold, but it gets a little cold. And it was either raining or the way I picture it, it was sleeting or something.
Yeah.
I don't think it was, but it was raining. I know that it was raining. And we were doing some kind of stupid workout. No offense, but like he had us sprinting from foul pole to foul pole. While we were doing that, the other set of pitchers, there were two groups, were like running hills or doing like hill climbers or.
And then he had a switch.
Yes, like it was some kind of circuit. And I just remember, I was doing something like some hill climbers or running the hills. And I went to I was throwing up. And I thought that I, like, honestly, like, I can sit here for a second. Like, let me get it out and then I'll run. And he was like, you better get it moving, Mitzi. Like, so I'm like running as this is like my freshman year. So it's the first time I've ever been pushed like that. I'm running and like just letting it out as I'm going.
Jeez.
But I mean, other than that,
and like I said, it's crazy how juke, because you couldn't probably get away with that in a D1 school. Like the coaches there probably couldn't get, like, have you ever, when you went to Carolina or South Carolina and you were there, did you ever hear any of these guys complaining about workouts and you're like, dude, you don't know what we did when we were in JUCO. There's nothing to complain about here.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that we did anything that was against the rules, to be honest with you, but it was very, I mean, it was every day. Like we were doing something like and it wasn't, I'm not going to say it was breaking the rules by any means, but it wasn't anything crazy.
Yeah. No, I get
like
that.
It was a lot
more intense.
Yes. And you didn't, you, like I said, you couldn't cut corners at this place.
Yeah. So basically like a boot camp for you, for a baseball boot camp.
Like I said, I felt like I was at baseball boot camp.
Dang. And you said you wanted to get stronger and bigger going there. Like did that boot camp.
I wouldn't say it was baseball boot camp. Like I said, it was just a lot more. It's year round.
Yeah.
To go from being in high school to then doing that. Mm-hmm. Now, again, now that I'm older, it's not a lot. Mm-hmm. But when I was there.
Yeah, at that age and stuff.
I felt like it was. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was like.
It's all about perspective sometimes.
Yeah. No, most definitely. I mean, if I wasn't in study hall or in class, I was running or I was doing something with baseball, chasing foul balls or something. And again, I went to South Carolina and it was the same thing.
Yeah.
But we didn't do as much running at South Carolina. And it was that the workouts weren't as intense.
Yeah.
I will say.
Dang. That's crazy. Question for you though. So you mentioned that you didn't get drafted out of your junior, after your junior or senior year. Obviously that could be mentally like hard for you. What would your advice be maybe for those who are going through maybe that specific struggle or like even similar struggles, and how did you stay mentally strong?
I think it all just comes down to how bad you really want it, to be honest with you. You have to ask yourself that. You know, if it's something that you really want to do, like anything else, and you go after it, I think then regardless, that's not a bad decision. But again, at the end of the day, you have to ask yourself how much you want it, and then you start there. And then that's when you take the next step.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
No, for sure. And that next step for you was independent ball, and you traveled.
Well,
it was whatever
I had to do to get someone to see me. And obviously, my college ball experience is up. You don't want to go pitch in a men's league, because that's, no offense, it's just you don't get picked up out of there. So the next best option is to go play in these indie leagues that are all over the country. And then obviously the next thing would be to go play winter ball. Because, you know, if you can go play in the Dominican or Venezuela or Mexico, you can probably play affiliated ball, you know, if you're in that age mm-hmm. where they're looking for guys.
Yeah, no, for sure.
For me, it was go to these independent league tryouts. I went to one, ended up signing with the Windy City Thunderbolts. Well, actually, they invited me to spring training and released me the first year.
Oh.
And then I went back home and I worked.
Yeah.
And obviously did baseball stuff and came back the next year and went to a little draft and they picked me up again.
Nice.
And then they released me a month and a half later.
Jeez. It's like rinse and repeat.
Yeah. And the thing is whenever I went through it, this tryout and I pitched terrible. And I left right after the thing. I was like, I'm not getting picked up. I'm done.
Yeah.
So I went back to my hotel. I packed my car up. I'm sitting in the parking lot. I'm literally texting somebody that I'm leaving. And I get a call. And it's my buddy. And he's like, hey, you just got picked.
Oh, nice.
And I got picked by who? What idiot took me?
Yeah.
It was kind of what I was thinking. And they were like, the Windy City Thunderbolts. And I'm like, you got to be. I mean, honestly, my first thought was like, you have to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Obviously grateful for the opportunity now looking back on the situation, but you know, I went to spring training with this guy, you know, a year prior to this and I got canned the last day of spring training. So I drive back up to the stadium, I'm sitting with him and he's like, look, I want you to throw submarine from down under, however he said it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I can do that for you. He was like, but the whole time.
Have you ever done that before or no?
I mean, I dabbled with it. Like yeah. My brother did it, you know, full time. And then, you know, I would kind of, I could do it. But I wasn't going to be able to, no offense. I didn't think I could make a career out of that at yeah. the time. So for me, I said yes. And I actually pitched pretty well for like a month.
Yeah.
And then I think I had like one bad outing where I walked the house and a guy come and cashed in my runs. My fault, obviously, but, you know, just didn't help the situation. Obviously, all three runs cashed in. And then I had another outing where I gave up like two runs and we got back that night after like being on the road for 2 weeks. Canned.
Jeez.
So, after that, I got a call the next morning, and it was another independent team in the same league. And they ended up signing me, and they were coming to Chicago where I was at. So I ended up signing with them and obviously finished out that year with them.
That's crazy. So, like, your whole career has been a lot of, like, ups and downs.
punched in the face.
Punched in the face.
A little bit of light. Punched in the face.
Yeah, that's insane.
Honestly, I really didn't think of the first time I got released, you know, I went home, no one else signed me. So it was like, okay, I'll give this thing one more try. I went back to the tryout, I got picked up. Well, then when I got released, I was planning on going home. I was over it. But then I got signed the next day, so I really didn't have time to think about it. And then it was like, whenever they told me that River City, they said, hey, we're coming to Chicago. Just stay there. We'll give you a uniform and you're going to pitch against your old team.
Did you shove against them or what?
Oh, my God. Yes. puts me in a game that's like 8-2. And I was like, look, Steve, I'm not throwing from down under. I'm throwing over the top. And he was like, cool, man. Do whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
He was like, you're going to be my closer. And I was like, perfect, dude. Like, you just... He just gave me some confidence.
Yeah.
Which at the time is what I needed. And man, I went out there and I was like 92 to 94 and touched a five.
Dang.
And I was like, okay, I'm back.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think your team at the other side was looking like, we gave up this guy for.
Yeah. And they were all like, told you, you should have let Mincy throw from up top or whatever it may have been.
Yeah.
Obviously, I heard that the guy was happy for me.
I guess that's
but I went on to pitch against him for 2 years and I think I blew maybe one save in that league. So I got my revenge back.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm grateful for him. For some reason, signing me again, because I didn't pitch. Like I said, I didn't pitch well at the tryout. So it was like I was grateful for the opportunity.
Yeah, and you mentioned that you played in like winter ball and stuff, and you played, I believe, like Colombia, Mexico, Australia, maybe the Dominican even, or no?
The Dominican.
Yeah. like of all those places, like I mean, just taking a step back, like how cool is it that like baseball has given you that opportunity just to visit like all these like awesome countries and just get that experience to be playing like abroad and going places that not, you know, not everybody gets to go to, these different places and stuff, and enjoying like the different cultures.
I mean, the older I get, the more I appreciate where I've got to meet people from all over the world and obviously learn different cultures and obviously have a bunch of different experiences. And I've been fortunate enough to play, you know, pretty much in all the winter ball places that you would, I mean, other than like two places that I don't think I've been. But it's been fun. Like I said, I don't think I've went one place where I can say something that's, you know, obviously you have pros and cons of everywhere. But they've all been a great experience and met a lot of great people along the way. So it's been fun.
What has been your favorite place to play? I mean, of all the places that you've gone?
I don't think I can really pick one. Cause I love Latin America and I love Australia. They're both two different worlds. Obviously you have pros and cons of both. Like I'm about to go to Australia and I'm going to be flying for 20 something hours, which is brutal. But then there's a lot of great things in Australia. And then, you know, you have Latin America. Obviously there's a little bit of a language barrier. I can speak a little bit of Spanish, but not enough to be out on my own and to do everything. But you know, I don't think I can pick one. They're all great. Like they're all great in their own way. If that makes sense.
No, for sure. Yeah, totally makes sense. Obviously I'm Puerto Rican myself. My dad was born in Puerto Rico. I don't think you've played there, but
that's there in Panama. I haven't been yet.
Okay.
And those are two places that I would like to go before I retire. And I almost signed to go to Puerto Rico this year, but it was kind of wishy-washy and back and forth.
So. Gotcha. No worries. So of all the places that you've been to, like, was there any food that you've tried where you're like, dude, what am I even eating? Like what is this? I'm never eating this again.
I'm not going to say I'd never eat it again, but I have two stories that are kind of funny. One, I was in Mexico. This is right. The year that I got signed, I went to Mexico for the summer league, the LMB. And I was there for, I don't know how long, like a month or so, a little over a month. And we had the same thing every day. Like we were in this little resort on the top of these hills in Mexico. I can't even remember the name of the city, but, and it was like beans, rice, pork, and we'd have chicken sometimes. And then every now and then you'd have steak, like once a week.
Yeah.
They come out one day and it looked like they had green beans. And I was so excited.
Yeah.
And I'm digging in and I get a mouthful and my buddies look at me, the other Americans. And I have my mouth shut. And I asked them, like, what is this? And they told me it's cactus.
Oh, and I was like,
and again, it's not terrible, but it wasn't by any means a green bean.
No.
it's not that funny, but if you...
I get that. But like, I personally have had cactus and I don't like it. I don't.
Terrible. My mom told me she had it the other day and I asked her how she liked it. And she said it wasn't that bad.
No, dude, it's not good at all.
It's brutal.
But like Mexicans and like Latin Americans, they love it. They'll eat their like cactuses and like banana, fried bananas, like plantains.
I can eat plantain.
I don't like any of that. Stuff.
I cannot get on board with the cactus. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
And then in Venezuela one time, we woke up one morning and I didn't eat breakfast or something. We got on the road and we drove for like 6 hours, 5 hours, whatever it was. And we went to this restaurant and it was kind of like one of the restaurants where you have the green and the red tag, and if you have the green, they bring you meat, a bunch of meat. It's like a Brazilian steakhouse.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm sitting there, I'm starving. So I've got green. They come over and it looks like a pork tenderloin.
Yeah.
But I'm the only one to get some, I think. Or actually, some of the other guys might have got some. So like they put it on the plate, and as soon as they put it on the plate, I start eating it. And before I can even notice, like I've already eaten like, I think like two pieces.
Yeah.
I look up and they're like, you know, they ask me if I like it. I'm like, yeah, it's good. And they said, so you like iguana?
What?
I guess. No. Iguana, not that bad.
See, I think it's because if they had told you prior to that, like, I think if you eat something, you're like, that's not that bad. And they tell you what it is. It's like, okay, I can kind of get that. But if someone told you, hey, try iguana. Like, I mean, for me, at least, I'd be like,
yeah, I might have been out on it.
If they told me. I'm going to pass on the iguana.
Yeah.
What did it taste like?
Honestly, it tastes kind of like chicken. as bad as that is, it did. Maybe at the time I was so hungry, like, don't get me wrong, like, I ate those two pieces, and then the other piece I kind of pushed it to the side.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I mean, once you figured it out, like
honestly, in all those places over there, it's kind of, you have to be careful.
Yeah.
You really do, because you don't really know all the time. You might be getting, you know, a chicken. You might be getting a chicken, but it's like, what part of that chicken are you actually getting?
That's exactly right, man.
You know what I mean? Like, and again, maybe it's just me being cautious.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had food poisoning before. I've gotten sick in Latin America before from eating. But, I mean, I'm kind of skeptical sometimes. It depends where I'm at.
And I don't blame you.
I was skeptical.
Yeah. What about like in Australia? Like I've never been there, but Australia has always like fascinated me. And maybe just like the kangaroos and the fact that like they're so huge and they're jacked, and I feel like they're everywhere, like in the pictures and stuff like that. Like, how was your experience in Australia?
Unreal. I love Australia.
Did you see any kangaroos?
Yes, a ton. You know, for a while when I got there, I didn't see any, and then we were coming back from somewhere. We had just got off a plane and we were taking a bus back to the stadium to get our cars. And I look out in the field and there's a ton of them, and they're just everywhere. And you know how you see on the TV shows or the movies where they're jacked.
Yeah.
There's some of them that look like that. And then we actually went to a zoo or like some kind of wildlife exhibit that they have. And they had some kangaroos there. They weren't really big ones, but, the ones I saw out in the field, they were about our size probably.
Yeah, I guess maybe just like in the pictures and stuff, you think they're small, but like they're huge. And I've never seen one personally, but like I've seen the videos and stuff. Like those are some big animals.
Yeah, they're big.
Yeah, and they're jacked too.
The grown ones, yeah.
Jeez.
It's just like you would imagine.
Yeah, I would have ran away. I would have been like, nah, not today.
Well, I mean, obviously, I wish they'd have slowed the car down so I could see, because there was a ton.
That's fair.
But I got to see a koala while I was there and a bunch of other stuff, so it was cool.
That's so sick.
I enjoyed it.
Maybe this go-around, you'll get to, you know.
I'll do a lot more this time than I did last time.
Yeah.
Last time that I got there, I'll be honest with you, I was so gung-ho on trying to get signed, and I was locked in. Focused. Like I didn't really do anything other than like wake up in the morning, I'd cook my breakfast, I'd go to the field, work out, do all my throwing stuff, and then I would, you know, we'd do our game and I'd go home. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't do much. This time I plan to do a little bit more and enjoy the experience a little bit more. So I'm excited for it.
Yeah, do you think this is going to be the first time, like, considering all the places you've gone, to be able to just really sit back and enjoy it now that you kind of been picked up by affiliated baseball team and you don't have to really focus as much as, like, I need to get signed by a team, but now you can focus on just, like, enjoying yourself, living in the moment, and maybe just bettering yourself as a baseball player?
I think most definitely. Mm-hmm. You know, I've pressed for so long to – obviously, you know, I've done my other job, and it has, I mean, I've kept it, you know, it's been my first priority.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure. you know, but whenever I was playing in Latin America and in Australia before, it was like every little thing mattered.
Yeah.
And again, everything still matters now, but I'm also at a point now to where I'm just trying to work on a few things. Like I don't really need to worry about getting picked up by a team right now, unless obviously something happens with Miami down the road. Mm-hmm. I just need to go focus on the few goals that I have in mind, or that I dealt with this year that can help me be a better pitcher next year, and kind of enjoy my time there. And there's not so much of an emphasis on like contacting people and all the other stuff. Cause you know, mm-hmm. before I was kind of acting as my own agent. Like I was sure. still reaching out to people and putting together film, and you know, after an outing, I'd have to go get the film and cut it and, or not cut it, but yeah,
kind of shrink it a little bit, yep.
and send it out to people. Wow. So, you know, now I think I can do a little bit more, and obviously I'm still competing. I'm still there to mm-hmm. win. But enjoy it a little bit more.
Yeah. No, for sure. Yeah. So let's talk about the minors. I mean, you've obviously had your first full season and like affiliated ball and stuff like that. You were AA, AAA. How was that experience in playing in affiliated ball in the minor leagues? Obviously, some of these towns are small. You're lucky you avoided Beloit, which is probably one of the worst.
No, I was in Beloit.
Oh, were you in Beloit? Oh, because you did you start last year or this year?
Yeah. So I got signed last year.
Okay.
I got signed last year. I can't remember what month it was. I went to Mexico, was down in Mexico for like a month, left Mexico, went to Indy Ball for like a month, and then Miami signed me from the Kansas City Monarchs and the American Association.
Okay. So you did get to play in Beloit.
I went to Beloit for a little while.
How was that experience?
It actually wasn't that bad when we moved to the new field.
But yeah.
But the old field, I was there for like a week or two, and it was brutal. Yeah. I felt like I was playing – that was worse than indie ball fields that I played at. Yeah. I mean, I played at a lot of really nice indie ball teams or fields too, but that was like, I feel like I was in Mexico, like in spring training.
Yeah. Dude, like I asked people like, oh, so what's the worst city you've ever been to or the worst field you ever played at? And like 100% it's Beloit, Wisconsin. Beloit and yes. another one in the America, High A Central. I can't think of what it is right now, but Beloit is one of the top teams mentioned, and the new stadium is nice. I've been to the new stadium. It's beautiful.
Yeah, so when like we moved to the new stadium, I actually lived in the lofts that were right across the street.
Okay.
I was a little expensive, but it was a nice living situation. I could walk to the stadium. There was a downtown area with food. So it was good for me. It was a nice little setup. But obviously you like to move up too. Yeah. So that's also another part of it.
No, for sure. So you've been to a High A, Double A, and Triple A. What was the hardest jump? Was it from like going to Double A or going to Triple A?
I would say High to Double A. I would say, because I mean, there's a jump from Double A to Triple A, but the jump from High to Double A is, you know, if you make mistakes in Double A, they're going to get hit a lot of the times. High A, if you have good stuff, still hard, you have good spin rate, whatever it may be, you can still beat some of those guys. Whereas when you get to Double A, you can go out there in one inning and give up a six spot and take 5 minutes. Like this.
Yeah, that's true.
It happens quick. And it's like that in Triple A, but the guys in Double A are eager to keep moving. You know what I mean? Yeah. A lot of those guys in Triple A are back and forth from the big leagues.
That's
true.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? Or they've been in the big leagues, whatever it may be. Because I think there were only a few guys in AAA when I got there that had been there all year on the pitching staff mm-hmm. that hadn't moved up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, for sure. And like I've had guys on the AAA team who've been on the podcast. Brian Hoeing has been on. Troy Johnson. Well, yeah. He's AAA.
Like Double A, if the infielders don't charge a ball sometimes. For example.
Yeah.
It's hard 90s a lot of the times. If they run, you know what I mean? Balls, I mean, like you see Nassim Nunez, like if you give that kid the slightest chance, he's going to turn a single into a triple.
How nasty is that kid? Like he's
unreal. Unreal. 100 across the infield, hits from both sides, patient at the plate, like he's got a good eye. you know, he's not there to hit for power. He knows his role.
Yeah.
He's going to hit doubles down the line. I mean, I watched him play. I didn't watch him play for that long. But when I got back down from AAA and watched him, I was impressed. He's good. He's really good.
Yeah, and like I said, the Marlins got some talent. Like, I mean, the big club, I mean, the record wasn't what you want it to be, but, like, there's a lot of talent in that farm system. So, I mean, there's a lot of positives to look at.
There's a ton. And, like, the one thing I like about it, to go back to Nas, the one thing I like about him is, too, is, like, the kid, he works hard. Mm-hmm. Like, every day in bullpens, if someone's throwing, he's standing in there. He's going to watch. He's going to watch a few pitches. And he's – he'll watch him. He'll let you know if it's a strike or a ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's what he's in there trying. He's trying to get better, just like we are.
That's awesome. So was there any city that you went to in your three different levels where you just kind of look around and you're like, where am I? I mean, like I said, a lot of people say Beloit, but you've already played there. But other than Beloit, like, what is one city you get off the bus, you look around and you're like, why am I even here?
There were a few places in AA. I'm trying to think. I want to say it was like that with the Mississippi Braves.
Okay.
And then definitely not Biloxi because they had the casino.
Yeah.
Man, not the White Sox, not the Angels. Double A wasn't that bad. Now, there were some places whenever I was in high that we would go that it was like, you can't even get you can't get anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I will say one place, when we played against the Cubs, you can't get an Uber there.
Is that Iowa?
No, that is in Tennessee somewhere.
Okay.
Kodak, Tennessee. Okay. Yeah. So you basically eat from the Taco Bell, the McDonald's, and the Golden Corral.
The Golden Corral. It's a classic.
Or something like that, whatever it is.
No, it's Golden Corral. Yep.
And unless you order pizza.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, again, I'm used to it because, like, in indie ball, I've played it some pretty hole in the wall places.
You would say indie ball kind of prepared you for the minors.
Oh, yeah. Like, again, don't get me wrong. Like, when I got there, I started to, I guess you would say, I appreciated it the whole time.
Yeah.
But then I started to get comfortable and I started to notice, like, oh, we're, you know, we could be there. Or, you know, we could be there. And then I look back and I'm like, I look here now and I'm like, well, grateful where they put us in the first place.
Yeah.
But again, that's how it is everywhere.
Yeah. No, for sure. So let's talk about Meraki Gloves. Obviously, that's the company you and a couple others have, like, founded. Like, what went into, like, the founding of that, or, like, the start of that? Like, what got you into the idea of, you know, starting a glove company?
So I remember whenever I was playing indie ball, I think I was playing for the Long Island Ducks. And I remember a buddy of mine ordered a glove. And I was like, you know, this isn't that bad. And I remember it was like $250. I'm not going to say what glove brand it was. But I got it. And I thought it should have been better.
Mm-hmm. For, like, the price, you mean?
No, just the overall, the quality. Not the price. $250 wasn't bad.
I thought that was fair. But for the price, you thought it should have been a better product?
Yeah, I thought the glove could have been better.
Sure.
I thought that, like, the overall glove looked very cheap. And then, like, a few months passed, and, you know, I always talk with another buddy named Pedro Beato, and he was talking about starting a glove business all the time. He played in Asia, played in the big leagues. I didn't really think anything of it, didn't think anything would come from it. Well, he called me probably 3 months after the season, and he said, I found someone to make gloves.
Oh, nice.
And I'm like, okay, well, let's give it a try. Whatever, I'll dabble with it.
Yeah.
And we did it, and I think we bought a few from one place and they were terrible. Bought a few from another place, terrible. And then we finally found a person, and I can't remember how many people we went through. But we finally found a person. When they got in, I was like, wow, this is actually nice.
Yeah.
I can use this. So then I was thinking, I was like, I'll just make them for myself for now. See what we have. I'll use them for like a year. See how we develop with them. And then a year went by and the glove kept its hold and it was good.
Yeah.
I actually still use that same glove today. And then I did a bunch of research and started doing stuff and kind of put some stuff together. And then, basically had a whole business plan together and I had it. I just wasn't really pushing it. And this year I got with Miami, or not got with Miami this year, but this year spring training.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Mitzel was my roommate, and
good guy,
obviously great guy. Mm-hmm. He knew about the glove company because last year I would use them, and he was like, "Mincy, so what's the deal with it?" I was like, "You know, I got it right here." I showed him. He was like, "Well, let's get it moving." I was like, "All right, well, I mean, like, I don't really have to do much. I just hadn't had time to do it, because I was playing in the Dominican and then playing in Venezuela, and then I went straight to spring training early. So anyway, me and Mitzel got there, and like we pretty much knocked out a bunch of it while we were there. And then, basically throughout this whole year, me, Mitzel, and then another guy named Doc, you know Doc.
Yeah.
They just took interest in it, and obviously great, great humans. Mm-hmm.
Both have been on the pod, friends of the pod.
Exactly, and we've been working on it ever since, and kind of throughout the time, you know, we were bringing gloves to the clubhouse and asking people for their opinions and trying to obviously make it the best glove possible. But if it wasn't feasible, then we were going to kind of just back out. Mm-hmm. But obviously everything worked out and we got it to where we are now, and things are going pretty good.
That's awesome. And like you mentioned, like you had a couple guys with you. Are those two pretty much like the three of you kind of the...
I mean, there's a few other guys that are here and there and they kind of help. Yeah. Matthew Chavarria is a guy that he originally kind of helped me start, you know, the whole business plan whenever I was doing this. And then, you know, there's a few other guys that trickle in and out and kind of help me do, you know, stuff on the side and, you know, just send people to me or mm-hmm. whatever it may be. That was the thing about the Marlins. They were, a lot of those guys were real supportive. Yeah. Obviously they had glove deals. So, you know, they were obviously paying out of their pocket. And if it wasn't something good, then I wouldn't have brought it in the clubhouse because yeah. I would, you know how a clubhouse can be. Like, yeah. you're going to get heckled.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't want to be that guy bringing in some poor quality.
I mean,
and
gloves ever. I mean, every day I'd walk in the clubhouse, somebody would say, "Mincy, where's my glove?"
Yeah.
"Mincy, where's my glove?" Just obviously there's like, at one time I had like 10 people in there that had gloves.
That's awesome.
So it was their way to kind of, to poke the bear.
Yeah, no, so for sure. So what's your like overall goal for the company? Like, I mean, where do you want to see it go? Is it, because I see you guys do a lot of customization, which is pretty sweet. I feel like it's because you see like it can really bring your personality into like, because you can't really do so much. I mean, I guess now some custom cleats and stuff, but like having a custom glove can kind of allow you to bring a little bit of your personality into the game.
I think the end goal is to give you a customizable option mm-hmm. that is affordable. And to get it to you at a decent time.
Yeah.
Because now if you look at, you know, since COVID, to get a glove in.
Everything's slow.
You know, it takes forever. You know, I know there's one guy in spring training. He ordered a glove from his agent. You know, they sent in a right-handed glove. He's a lefty. He sent it back. They sent him back the same gloves. Jeez. Right-handed. So he sends it back. He didn't get his gloves till the end of the year.
Dang.
That's 8 months.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's 8 months. I could have sent him 4 shipments.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like the end goal, I guess you would say, is to be able, like I said, to build a company to where gloves are affordable yeah. and customizable so you can express yourself. But to also get to a point to where we can give some of this money back to build up, these public baseball fields or to give back to, you know, Latin America, whatever it may be, to sure. a nonprofit, yeah. to try to find a way to give back, you know, to the baseball world.
That's awesome.
Or whatever in that manner.
Yeah, that's sick. And like I said, you guys have put out some really cool merch and stuff. I need to get, I always go on there to look and stuff, and like the sweater or the hoodie, something I was kind of like, oh, that's kind of clean. I like that.
Yeah. We're again, the designs and stuff, that's, it's not too elaborate, but we're getting there. We're working, and I'm trying to find somebody to do some of this stuff that's a little bit more creative yeah. than me. But there's more to come. And we're just having fun with it right now. We're trying to take it slow and
yeah.
not trying to do too much. So
I love that, man. I love that. Well, hey, I want to thank you for coming on the pod, bro. Like, I mean, I appreciate you taking the time. I know your life's about to get a little bit more hectic, going to Australia and
leave playing Tuesday.
Dang, that's crazy. And then how long are you there for? Like a month or is it 2 months?
I think I'm there to like December the 15th or 16th, and then I'm going to fly back for Christmas. And then I'll have to be back after Christmas at some point, probably the next day.
Oh, wow.
And then I'll go back and I'll play until the end of the season is January 22nd. Mm-hmm. I anticipate us being in the playoffs, whatever that may be.
Just watch out for bottles.
Yeah. I'm going to stay clear of the circle this time. I got a little bit too far in.
Yeah.
In the circle. But I think I've learned my lesson. I've never been hit with a bottle before in my life, and it did not feel good. So I'll stay on the outskirts and kind of cheer for
that. There you go. I respect that.
Well, but I appreciate you having me on. It was fun, and maybe do it again down the road.
Yeah, no, for sure. And like, we'll have to do it. Try to do it in person or something. My goal is to go to either Florida or Arizona for spring training, and try to get, you know, talk to some of the guys. I've had a lot of guys from the Marlins. Obviously, you guys play in Florida.
Jupiter is the spot to be. It may be a little pricey.
Yeah.
But Jupiter's beautiful. There's a lot to do. You have the beaches right there. You obviously have the Cardinals and the Marlins that are right there beside each other. A bunch of spring training facilities are all right there. Within, I guess, 2 hours, I would say.
Yeah. Like, my goal was to go there, just do a bunch of interviews in person. I like doing Zoom, but like, I'd rather just have a more personal conversation, you know? Yeah, like, it's so much easier in person. Just try to put out some more baseball content, like just do a couple.
Well, if you do that, you let me know whenever you book your flight, and I'll have you a glove ready when you get to spring training.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah, but you got to give me 5 weeks to get the glove ordered. Yeah. And I'll have you a glove ready when you get to the Marlins spring training.
Okay.
You can figure something out. Yeah. Just let me know. Obviously, if it's for a good cause, then
we definitely don't
mind supporting that at all.
No, for sure. I appreciate that. And again, like I said, I appreciate you taking the time to come on. Like, I've talked to Doc. I talked to Tyler Mensel. I had him on. Like, you know, a lot of good guys. So, like, I mean, appreciate all you guys coming on and, like, you know, helping me out. And, like, you know, like, I love getting the story of different players out there and just, you know, trying to show a more personal side to baseball players that you don't really see all the time. So, like I said, I appreciate you coming on, bro.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me. Keep doing what you're doing. I enjoy following you, and I appreciate all the stories. And
yeah.
Especially from the – like, you learn something new about some of the guys that are on your team that you might not even know.
Yeah, it's the way it is. I love it. So, like, I mean, if you ever have any guys you think you might want to be on the pod, let me know, bro, and like, I'll reach out to them, and like, I'll get them on.
For sure.
All right, brother. All right, you have a great rest of your day. Enjoy your flight. Enjoy Australia, and I'll see you around.
Yes, sir. Take care.
All right, you got it, bud.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.